Welcome to Unleash Your Courage. This is your host, Angela Schroeder. This is a show where we talk about getting uncomfortable on purpose, facing our fears, and the growth that happens in those areas. I'm excited to have Trevor with us here today. So thanks for being with us, Trevor.
Yeah, I'm excited.
So I only met Trevor within the last few weeks when I was speaking at ClipaCon in Las Vegas. I met you and your wife for the first time, got to know you a little bit there. And then the following week, we were at Sales Boost in South Carolina, and then really connected over some more things that we'll dive into today. Our strong D personalities. I love just being able to instantly connect with you and make fun of ourselves.
Yeah.
Over those things. And then we have a lot in common of things that we're working on, of book and podcast and stuff like that. So it's been great getting to know you and being in the tribe. And I'm excited to introduce you to the audience.
In the tribe. Wow. Man, that's awesome.
Oh, it's just beginning. We got all kinds of fun stuff.
Let's go.
Okay. So instead of me telling all your accolades and reading them, how about you tell the audience your story?
Yeah, I think the word accolades is probably being a little generous. I'm a serial entrepreneur. If you follow the DISC assessment, Angela talked a little bit about that. I'm a high D, DI, so I'm a little bit difficult to deal with at times, but very focused, very driven. I've always been a business owner. Clean Image Pressure Washing was a company I started when I was 16 years old. Dropped out of high school to do it. The only reason I graduated is because my father told me he would buy me a jumbo boat if I graduated. So I actually cheated the system, signed up as a homeschooler, and then took tech classes at Tech to get my degree. So it's really kind of, that's a whole nother story, but that's just kind of been the story of my life, if you will. I've always hacked it and found a way to bootstrap everything I've done. And so I'm a serial entrepreneur. I own Clean Image Pressure Washing, Steel Realty, Clean Image Holiday Lighting. And I just recently started Through the Noise, the podcast, and hopefully I will be writing. I'm working on writing a book. I've got a lot of encouragement in my life. Angela's helping me mentally attack that. So that's another thing I'm adding. I'm married my middle school sweetheart. We have three beautiful children, a 13-year-old daughter. I'm going to get this wrong, probably 10-year-old daughter and an 8-year-old son who is at his second kickboxing training right now. And I'm missing it. I'm a little bummed about that, but I'm glad to be here.
Oh, I can't wait to meet your kids.
They're awesome. I've been
in family life and that too. But yeah, you have a story of overcoming from the beginning of persevering and knowing that you had that, you know, entrepreneurial spirit on your heart. And wanted to do that. What do you think? Talk a little bit about that, of that feeling of, I think some people are just like born to be entrepreneurs and take those risks and take risks more often.
Yeah, you know, it actually, you just made me realize something. The first time I remember the first time I heard the word entrepreneur, and it actually had a big impact in my life. My father-in-law now, of course, I was dating his daughter at the time, and I was just I started my pressure washing business, but I wasn't really taking it seriously. I was just looking for beer money and, you know, money to hang out with my buddies, you know, and take my girlfriend out. But he came to me, he said, no, you're an entrepreneur. And I was like, a what? He said, you're an entrepreneur. And then he explained what that was. And I remember that actually had a large impact on me. But to answer your question, yeah, I think it's just something you're born with. This, I mean, you can't even explain it really, this drive and this vision to be something that maybe even normal people can't see. Like, it's, and maybe most people look at you and think that, you know, it's a pipe dream, but to you, it's not a pipe dream. It's tangible. I mean, true entrepreneurs can feel it and experience it years before it happens. And it's just something that I've always known would be in my cards.
I love how you describe the visionary aspect of being an entrepreneur, and that's a natural feeling. And we've been discussing that a lot of, have you ever taken the rocket fuel test, the EOS rocket fuel? See, like,
I have not. It's sitting up there, though, the book. I obviously have read Traction. It's right there. But no, Rocket Fuel, I have not completed that one.
So we're going to send, you don't have to read the book, but there is a link. We'll post it in the comments here too, and then send it to you. And it is a test, getting a little off topic here, but it's a test to ask all these questions about being an entrepreneur. Because most entrepreneurs have that extreme visionary, and you just did such a good job of describing it. And so the test evaluates like how much of a visionary you are. And then, you know, we now know the importance of visionary entrepreneurs, the importance of that we need to have somebody in our life and in our business that's an integrator.
Right.
That is like, okay, great idea. Let's put the processes in place. We can't always just build the business based on that we believe in the feelings, like you said.
Right.
But
right.
I love the way you describe that, that you can, you know, everyone else might think that you're crazy, but you see that picture in your head and you just keep creating new pictures and bigger pictures and going for it.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. It's something I've always struggled with is the tangibility of it. Right. I really like that word when I'm trying to explain my vision to people, it's a false sense of reality in my world. And I'm aware of it. You know, in my mind, I'm already doing 50 million a year. Right. And I'm literally living that every day. So when I go to make a purchase or expand my businesses, or, you know, I have to back up and go, oh, wait, you're not making that kind of money yet. You need to wake up and make realistic decisions. And of course, my wife is always there to make sure I'm doing that. And my CFO's always on my back too. So that helps. But yeah.
You surround yourself with those integrators. I was just going to ask that if your wife is in working in business with your wife, if she is the extreme visionary like you are, or she's more of an integrator, more of the process decisions, like, no, we're not doing 50 million right now.
Yeah. I'm going to choose my words very carefully. Cause you know, this is let's see if I can do this. She's an ID. So she's also very dominant. So we can butt heads sometimes, but only in that aspect in communication. For the most part, I mean, she's the reason any of this is even possible, because she's an ID, right? So she's people focused, specifically in this business. Well, with Clean Image too, because she answered the phones for years. She was the voice of the business, right? And so she was so good with people, and I would write the system and then she would implement it, right? And so it worked out really well. With the real estate, she just loves working with people. She loves showing houses and helping people go through that process. I don't like doing that. You know, I'm not crazy about that side of the business. So I think I wouldn't call her an integrator. She's more like a wingman. She's a great wingman, and she can do 99% of this stuff without a process. Me, I'm the exact opposite. I'm going to map out every single detail of the process for every detail of the business, but then I need somebody else to do it. So
yeah,
that's kind of how that works. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I love the way that you describe, that you talk about your wife, and you do it in a very flattering way of that you guys complement each other well. We all need people that complement and that work well together, that, you know, she is great with people and likes people, and her strong eye, it sounds like she's, you know, so great in that, that you don't have to do it. That's not your thing, and you don't have to do it. And she takes care of it in all the different portions of the business. And if you guys wonder what the heck we're talking about with the disc, you don't know the disc, you should go out there and do that test too. We're just talking in strange languages for all the audience. But when you, and I think, like I said, Trevor and I connected over that in South Carolina, there was a presentation on it. It didn't just come up. There was a presentation, and it was just fun making fun of ourselves of, oh, that's, I am so extreme. That other way, that it's almost a different language that people don't
understand.
like you said, the visionary language, the D, it's like they're unknown words and things and people. But we need those eyes around us that are really people, people, people.
Yeah.
Okay. We have a Facebook comment. If you're leaving a comment on Facebook, make sure that you register with StreamYard first so we can see who you are. Otherwise, I'd put these comments on, but I'm not sure who it is.
Yeah. Facebook user.
Which drove you crazy. Is this your wife? Yeah.
Is it?
I don't know. Please, you. So if you're commenting and haven't registered with Facebook, then you need to tell us who you are so that we can put the comment up and know who you are.
That's great.
This is the comment. I would sort of implement your vision with my own spin, which drove me crazy.
That's definitely her. That's definitely her. So she's freeing me to speak a little more openly now. So yeah, she's not a systems implementer. That's what I was saying, that 90%. She's capable of doing it without it, right? So something would happen or there'd be a mistake made in business. And I would go, okay, but babe, did we do this, 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 and this according to the operations manual, which is like really thick, you know? I haven't done that in 6 months, babe, you know? So,
well, I love it. I can't wait to spend more time and get to know her better as well. And
she's awesome.
That's a perfect comment. I do it with my own little spin. I implement your vision with my own little spin.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Okay, so along the journey of, like we said, natural entrepreneurs or natural risk takers that make, I talk about make courageous decisions more often instinctively.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me about some of the big courageous decisions that you've needed to make, or maybe it didn't feel like, maybe it didn't feel like that to you.
So, long history of failure.
That's okay.
In my life. So I'm going to try and get to the question, but I have to lead up to it.
Okay. We want to hear the story because you have a good one.
I'm not going to give the whole story. I'll bullet point it, okay. But long life of honestly just crash and burn failures. But it's always been with this same brand. Like I said, there's a sense of disconnect from reality that I didn't care whatever it took. I was going to see it through. And, unfortunately, everything in my life had to be learned the hard way. That's just, I'm a stubborn, stubborn man. So I went through a lot of trials, a lot of loss, great pain. You know, when you want something so bad that you can feel it and tangibly, you know, hold it in your hands and then it's stripped away from you over and over and over again, you start to wonder if you're just crazy, right? And this just isn't meant for you. You were never going to have this, right? So that's always been something I battled with internally, mentally. You know, I have extreme ADHD. I was a mess in school. I mean, held back twice, I think. I don't even know. Kicked out of the school twice. Just a mess, you know. Wasn't a bad kid, just had it made up in my mind that school was not made for me. And I don't know where that came from or why that was the case. Cause it turns out I'm very intelligent. Who knew? Of course, I didn't know that then. I thought I was stupid, flat out. I thought I was stupid. But then
I'm going to let you finish the story of that, but I want to insert something there. Of, I think a lot of times, not criticizing the traditional school system, but again, people that are entrepreneurs, I think I know a lot of entrepreneurs, including myself, that are so driven and have this, that are ADHD as well. Like I very much struggle with that still today to try and put systems in place, but
for sure.
It's like school wasn't designed. I could not pay attention that long.
No. It's just pulling teeth. You know, I would literally go to class and fall asleep on my desk, and my teachers, it was to the point where they didn't care. I was the only student in the entire high school that they would just let him sleep in the corner. Like it, whatever, that's Trevor, you know, he's never going to be anything anyway. Of course I let that fuel every move I make, believe me, but actually my principal, hope he's not watching this. My old principal, asked for a price to wash his house. And I saw his name come across our desk and I was like, oh, and he said, yeah, Trevor was, my VA who runs the business, basically, she said, he brought you up, but he said your prices were too high. And I was like, perfect. They were too high. But anyway.
Oh.
Yeah, so all that led to ultimately selling this company. It was Clean Image Property Maintenance at the time, and my books were a mess. They were just a total nightmare. So, which in hindsight helped me because I couldn't sell the company itself. I ended up selling my goodwill. And in the process, let's just cut it to this. We ended up in about 3 years of lawsuits and IRS debt and all kinds of just a mess. Finally won, got the company name back, started the real estate as a sidearm. I had to do something different because the judge said you have a 3 year non-compete, 60 mile radius is what it is. So I had to reinvent myself, and that was in 2000. I'm gonna get this wrong, probably 2016 or 17. Anyway, started the real estate company. Everything's been gangbusters since then. You know, you just kind of went all in with it. And then in 2020, we thought that real estate was just gonna crash. We were convinced of it. Anybody in real estate that was in real estate sales thought for sure, okay, lockdown, it's been implemented and nobody's buying real estate. So I literally went on Nextdoor and started putting an ad for pressure washing, right? I was like, I'll do something during the day. We're just literally sitting around the house. And so I started watching houses and I was like, man, I forgot how easy this is, you know? And you know, within a month, I went all in. Imagine that, right? I went all in, got the company name back. The timing was perfect. And we just blew up. Both businesses exploded about the same time. And now we're just trying to keep our heads on straight. And so that was a tough decision. That hopefully that answered your question. One of the tough decisions we've had to make was I went back into business in a business that I'd failed in for 15 years. So here we are.
You are coming to all the concepts that I think like embody an entrepreneur, at least embody my vision of an entrepreneur and me. We've talked about the visionary and just the really what that meant and the feeling of it too, and not traditional school path. You mentioned two other things of the all in and not knowing how to be anything but that.
Right.
And so many of the concepts, like we said, are different and seem so strange to the outside world or other people. But I think that's something, and I say this a lot, it's almost in every area of my life, of anything I do. I'm like, I don't understand how to do it halfway. I don't understand how to try, or let's do just a little bit of this. Let's just build this
Right.
business just to this level. Do you think like you're like that in everything?
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. I'm trying to think of an example on the spot, but all right,
But
so the
once you
Chris,
started the
go ahead.
business, you didn't start it thinking, I'm going to blow this up.
This time? Yes,
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. I knew I'm not doing this unless I'm going for the swinging for the fences. I mean, I'll give you an example. My goal is to be the largest in the country. I want to franchise Clean Image and be the largest pressure washing company in the country. Call me crazy, call me delusional.
Call you crazy. I love it.
That is okay. I will take it. I'll put it right here where I carry all the rest of it. And let's go.
I love it, Trevor. I love your big dreams, enthusiasm. Like, I'm going to be, and just speaking it out into the world that it's not just there in your head, that you're like, this is what I'm going to do. Yeah. That's really not playing small. That's really all in.
Yeah. Well, this is kind of funny. I told you the story, Michelle Prince. I just happen to have it sitting next to me. I'm at a conference, and this is how I just was actionable steps to take from the conference, right? Right at the very end, I write this one down. It says, write my story. Right. It just all of a sudden hit me that, you know, I've been through a lot and my family deserves it. My children need to understand it because we found some success. And I want them to understand what it took to get there. Right. And so I just leaned over to the person sitting next to me. And this is how God always works with me. If I just let it go, he takes care of me, which is hard for me to do. I lean over and I point to this little thing and I say, write my story. And this is during somebody speaking, right? So it's just kind of in passing. And she looks at me like I'm crazy, right? Like, hold on. This is her new book. This is the lady that was sitting next to me, Shine Through Your Story. It's literally a book about writing your story, right? And so I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. Okay, so God's telling me to write a book. I guess I'm writing a book. And that's just, I'm all in. I'm going for it. I'm writing a book. So
And yes, I did hear that story and you telling me, and I'm absolutely a fan of that. I kind of had a similar story of like I'd always feel like it'd been on the back of my mind and wanted to write a book, and then certain things aligned. I have a handwritten note. I'll have to pull it out and show you
you
that I said
should.
I'm gonna write a book, and yeah, then God just aligned the right people in my life at the right time that hey, here's the book program, and here you go,
Yeah, it's funny
and.
because the go ahead. I don't want to interrupt.
No, go
Oh, I was
ahead.
gonna say the funny thing is my coach, this was Howard Partridge's Inner Circle. My coach Christian, his son, said, hey Trevor, I'm gonna sit you at the right table. I want you to be with the right people in this room full of, I don't know, 200 people. And I literally looked at him and said, no, don't do that. Don't do that. God's gonna put me right where he wants me to be. And sure enough, I sat next to this random lady. And so let check in with me in a year and see how my book's going.
On your own. Oh,
Hopefully.
you know I'm going to be checking in all the time and asking you about the progress on the book. Well, we need to, before we dive more into that, we need to take our first commercial break and then we will be right back. Oh, and we're back. Oh, goodness. The technology I say of the radio part of all of it, I'm still getting right, but I love that I've had the opportunity to be on Dan's show and watch him do it as well. Okay, so we're diving back in. We were talking about All In and your book and oh, right people, right places. That so much happens, I think, when you're ready, right? You were in a place of ready and willing to receive. And I think it's hard that I'll go into as this big visionary and these concepts we want, I often have a hard time or try and balance the beating into existence my own plan, right? I see this vision, I know it, I believe that it's absolutely true. Like you said, the 50 million, it's already going. I'm making decisions like it's happening. And I have that picture and I can feel it in my mind. And the balance between beating my picture into existence, that perfect picture that I want to see, and letting go and being open to different doors that God opens in your life and different people that maybe the picture wasn't what you thought it was going to look like, or that there were new things that you were supposed to pursue or chase, and that those are the ones that end up even better, right? Like you and this book and putting it out into the world, and you are going to impact so many lives with your story. But if you were so focused on just creating that picture of the business and weren't open to this opportunity, you would have missed it.
Totally agree. So I think, and I've told my friends, some of my closest friends, this before. I think without experiencing great loss and pain, and for a true entrepreneur, that's the business is personal, right? I mean, it just is until you get to a certain point where this is where I am today. You know, I have a target of being the largest in the country, but if God has different plans, okay. You know, that's all right. But you shoot for the stars, right? And you land among the, how's it going? Shoot for the moon, land among the stars.
Yeah.
Something like that. But yeah, it's you have to have these experiences and these losses to finally just say, okay, all right, I give up. I'm gonna do whatever you call me to do, and that's what I'm gonna focus on. And the doors, all of a sudden, when this shifted in my life, the doors just started opening. I haven't seen a door shut in years. And you know what? But if it does, that's great because that's a door that's shut and I don't have to look at it anymore. But that's just where I'm at. I'm not going to fight it anymore. I've done that my whole life. I'm done with that.
Yeah, it's not easy though, for sure. I think I
It's not. It's not.
still, like I said, still try and balance that, but I'm in a season of extreme evidence of that. It was much greater than I could have imagined.
Sure.
Talk a little bit about the bounce back from failure, because that is something that, a lot of businesses fail. We know there's a big statistic on it, right? People start a business, it sounds glamorous, and most businesses fail. But the thing that separates people that keep going, have heart, that really end up with big success is the ability to bounce back from failure. And like you said, it is personal. The most, like I've had a story of personal and business and loss and failure, and the things that hurt me the most were the businesses I lost. Even though there were personal things attached to them, the personal part of it, the like heart-wrenching part of it to me was the businesses I gave up.
And I think it comes down to, first of all, you immediately blame yourself, and you the self-doubt that starts to kick in is real. I've struggled with depression most of my life, and that's definitely part of it. If I feel like I'm not on the track I'm supposed to be on, stay out of my way. I'm not a good person to be around, and that's just the truth. It's because I'm so hard on myself. Most people think that I'm not even certain it's ADHD, to be honest with you. I think it's just that I'm constantly thinking. And so everybody else sees it as ADHD. Like, he's not even listening to me. Well, probably not, because he's thinking about 18 other things right now, right? And they're pretty important to him. So that's just kind of, I don't know. Where are we going? I'm rambling. Where are we going with this?
I do like the constantly thinking. I'm going to use that instead because my daughter thinks I'm not listening sometimes. And I'm like, I am listening. I'm doing my best to listen.
Yeah.
20 really good ideas just popped into my head, and I was trying to respond to
That's
somebody else.
right.
These are life-changing ideas. They're going to change your life. So,
So my wife has this thing that she does. Obviously, she knows me pretty well at this point. She will touch my arm, or she has to touch me, right? If she's speaking and she can tell I'm not, she'll reach over and touch me. Or if we're in a group setting and I'm like clearly zoning out, maybe other people don't see it, but she sees it, she'll reach over and touch me, and I'm like, oh yeah. Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
I'm here.
But I'm
That
here. Yeah, I heard everything.
heard all of that.
Yeah.
We're going back and forth in this, but I'm going to go back to the hard, the failure, and what that feels like, and then the bounce
Right.
back ability part of it. But it is, you try in those failure moments, you it is a feeling of like, can I even trust myself? Yeah, you blame yourself and then think, I went through cycles of that of, can I even trust myself to make a decision? What was I thinking? For a moment, that whole big, grand, visionary, I'm out here and no one can stop me and I'm different than everyone else.
Gone.
When that goes away in flashes, it's extremely depressing when
Extremely tough. Extremely
you
tough
get
to handle that.
in your head of like, was I crazy? Was everyone else
Right.
right?
Yeah.
And was I crazy? Was I creating a fantasy? Can I even trust myself to dream again? And it strips you of like your whole who you are, right? Because the reason, I mean, we bounce out of bed because of our family, we have wives of our family and all the people that we love and stuff too, but we bounce out of bed for that, those big visions and that picture that we're painting.
Right.
And when a failure strips away your ability to believe in that anymore.
Yeah. So I can say that there's been a shift in the way I look at things. I don't look at failure as a mistake or a problem anymore. I look at it as a closed door that I need to learn from, right? So if I fail at something, it's because I was doing something outside of God's will somehow in my mind. I did something wrong, and I need to back up, ask the right questions, pay attention, and reassess it, and do it again and again and again and again, because clearly God's called me to this. And it doesn't matter how many times I get, if these businesses fail tomorrow, I promise you I'd be restarting them again the next week. Without a doubt. And it just is what it is. Elon Musk said it best. Actually, I don't even remember how he said it, but basically, you just don't quit, right? It's never an option. It's just not an option. Because I'm
What do
not
you
working for somebody else.
think? That's true. That's where I was at in those
It's
moments.
not
I was like,
happening.
something's got to work. Because
If I'm gonna fail, I might as well fail for myself, you know?
exactly. We're not going down that road. What do you think supports you best right now that you've learned in, like I've learned through the seasons of what I'm doing when I have good bounce back ability and what I needed to put into my life so that I had bounce back ability from failure versus like how did I get to that bathroom floor bottom moment? It was a failure, but it was also because I wasn't doing the things to, I didn't have the systems in place, the things in my life to support a rapid bounce back. Do you feel like things have changed for you in that you have better bounce back ability?
For sure. Even honestly, I'm not, I certainly haven't perfected it, but I'm growing every day. I've developed the ability to recognize the onslaught before it gets here. So I can start feeling, it usually starts with feeling overwhelmed, like I'm doing too much. And then the doubt kicks in, and then it's, oh my gosh, who am I? What am I thinking? Who am I? I can't do this. There's too much going on. There's no way I can run three businesses and a podcast and write a book. And what are you doing? You know, and so you start to self-doubt. So for me, number one, and everything keeps leading back to my wife. I hope she's smiling. Number one is it's intense transparency, right? I tell her when I can feel it coming, you know, and we've talked about it. This is how we I need you to handle me, right? Like a child almost, right? I can feel this negativity is like just starting to get the better of me. I feel like I'm gonna start drowning soon if I don't get this under control. So, you know, I my love language is touch. I need her to touch me. I need her attention. I need peace in my life. I need quiet. I need organization, right? So I have those direct, open, transparent conversations with her, and she's able to help me come out of that. I tell her all the time, there's only one person in this world that can truly help me be great or be useless, and that's her, right? She's got that great power over me. But another thing that I can see you getting all
That gave
soft
me
on me.
chills. Yeah, I was like, whoa, the one person that has the power to like bring you back.
She could crush me in minutes. I hope she's not watching. Don't watch this. Just, but you know, it's having the ability to recognize it coming, right? And so for me, I can become very overwhelmed very fast. And I think most entrepreneurs feel that way. So I had to get really intentional and really good with managing how I spend my time. You would think that because I'm running all these businesses, that I would just be running ragged and I have no time, but that's not true. I actually have a lot of time because I'm delegating as much as I can. You know, if it, I think the book is called Getting Things Done. I can't remember the name. Anyway, basically I will, if I start to feel overwhelmed and like I'm the self-doubt's kicking in, it's probably because I haven't delegated enough things and I've discovered that. So what I do is and I use my wife for this too. I will literally sit down and I'm like, okay, real estate, we're going to write a list out. This everything that's on my mind, I'm going to write it down and I'm going to scratch that and put it over here. Do the same thing for the home service-based businesses and then our personal lives, the podcast, all these things, right? I compartmentalize it and then I shift it. Okay, who can handle 80% of that? And I don't have to think about it again. It's either going to my text, my VA, Ashby, somebody else, right? And then if there's some things that are actionable steps for me, I put them in a separate category and I knock them out as fast as possible. And I'm pretty good at executing on those. So what I've found out is that by the end of that process, I feel so much lighter and so much more effective. And all of a sudden I start thinking clearly. And yeah, that's really helped me a lot.
I love that exercise. I gotta go back into the relationship and the things that your wife does for you because I loved that part. But The getting overwhelmed, one, I want to talk about the feeling, but first in this delegate, that is always when we are doing it wrong, when we're not on top of our time. And I talk about this all the time. I call it unique genius, like how much time, how you're managing working in your unique genius, doing what you do best,
Right.
what you love to do, what sets your soul on fire, and what is getting you closer to your goals and aligns with your mission and vision. And if it's not in those three things, then how effectively are you delegating it? And sometimes we think we're doing it really well, and then we slip into, like you said, these areas that we took on too much. We had too many new ideas, new things coming, and didn't do a good job of delegating them. And things are crashing around in our heads. And it either
Right.
leads to, some sort of emotional burnout, or things get missed. Things, basic things, start getting missed. And so, how do you put a system in place? One, I love that you have a feeling and now you've been able to overcome that. But how do we constantly put systems into place so that we're evaluating how well we're doing that we're evaluating how well we're using our time? Because we might be using it really well this week, and then things changed and new things happened and new ideas happened, and we're not doing a good job of that. And so I need to do that more of, just take a moment at the end of the day and how well did I do today? What more do I need to offload, or at least at the end of the week? I love that you're able to recognize that feeling though, because that's
That took a
what
long
it is when you're.
time. That took a long time. The thing of, I'm the DI, right? I'm an influencer too. The sad part about it is when I do crash, I take people down with me. And I've seen that in business so many times. I lost my best tech, my lead tech. I mean, when I say an awesome lead tech, this guy was incredible. I lost him because in a moment of weakness, he brought something up that triggered me, if you will, and I didn't handle it well, and he walked away. Luckily, I was able to convince him to come back, but that was a big deal for us. That easily cost us $45,000 just to rebound from it, but and that's the other thing. It's like you can't really quantify that, but losing a lead tech and having to replace them is a big deal. But
It is. And then you hit on another part of that. If we're not aware, if you're not creating that sense of awareness and you haven't figured out what you have of being able to now detect it early and like, okay, it's coming. Because if you
the
don't,
swell is building and it's going to take out everybody in between. Yeah, it's
this is like an awareness
tsunami.
for me. I mean, I have gotten better at that too, but it is such an emotional thing. I mean, there's a book about it, right? The entrepreneurial roller coaster. And sometimes it's actually in business or it's actually in emotion. And until you get a check or have an awareness and you're able to manage that that feeling is coming, you're right. When you get to that crisis moment and you're already there, you are taking everyone down. And I've been there too. Like everybody around you, because now you are in this hyper survival mode. And anything anyone says, you just think you're trying to defend. I don't know, you're not making any sort of rational decisions. And
And the ugly part is that as entrepreneurs, we bounce back. The people we take down don't necessarily bounce back the same way we do. So it might seem like it was, just a moment in time for you. It was not just a moment in time for these people. And convincing them to come back or to believe in you again is pretty difficult.
it is. That's a good point. As entrepreneurs, we're like, okay,
It
that went
happened.
over, and now we're back. It happened, and here we go, and bounce back. But until you figure that out, and I'd say that's a big part in maturing as an entrepreneur, and something to get a coach on and a mentor on, and figure it out. Until you emotionally mature as an entrepreneur, or take time to, heal, work on yourself, figure that out, you're going to run over and leave a lot of people in your wreckage.
So I'm actually going through this right now. I can feel it coming. I'm in that stage where it's starting to pile up, right? I can feel it swelling up. And I had this conversation with my wife probably over the weekend. Like, okay, babe, here we're, it's coming. I can feel it. And I know why it happened, because we just finished our new home. We just moved into our new home.
Well, you have a
And
lot.
that, yeah, there's a lot going on, right? And so I just, there's this whole added list of uncontrollables that I'm trying to control. And it's like, okay, which one's going to have my attention today? Where do I put my attention? And so I haven't been able to, I'm just realizing this literally today, by the way, but I'm realizing, okay, where am I putting my attention and where are these feelings coming from? All of a sudden I'm working out every day, right? It's like, why am I working out every day? Because I'm feeling stressed out, you know? So it's you just you get to the point where you, if you can see this stuff coming, you can fight it. And I promise you, within a week at this, I will not fall into depression. It won't happen. I'll be able to get through this. My wife's gonna be able to support me through it, and I can crawl right out of it. 10 years ago, I would have left a wake of destruction. Yeah.
Yeah, now you have that system. I like that you mentioned uncontrollables. I think that's probably a similarity in D's as well. Like, since we here I began a long time ago in the show, talked about letting go and not having to grip things so tightly. And then it comes up again, because those, I think those are the moments for me too, when there are too many uncontrollable things going on, like too many things that happen you have no control over, but you're trying to fight for control over them. It feels like too much.
Yeah. I
But
think as
now you're
entrepreneurs, high D entrepreneurs, we maybe I'm speaking too much, but me personally, I believe in my gut. I believe in my instincts, and I really rarely second guess them. And no, I'm just gonna leave it there. I'm gonna come off as
No.
JC doesn't like it when I talk like that.
No, say
Well, I just
it.
I guess
It
because of
helps.
the way I was, my upbringing, and it's the name of my podcast, Through the Noise, right? I had to convince myself who I was, no matter what was happening around me, no matter what anybody said, I wasn't going to hear it. You can't tell me shit, right? It just can't. And I had to build that wall, that protection, that layer of protection. I said it in another podcast, maybe a week ago. You have to protect your vision like it's like you're going to war, because that's all you've got, you know? And so I come off a lot of times as being cocky or overly confident, or I don't know what the word is, but what it really is I'm being protective. And if your input has any negativity whatsoever, I'm done. I'm not gonna let you into my brain, right? It's just not gonna happen. So that's the part I was talking about, because JC came up to me in Vegas and basically said, "Hey man, you know you're an asshole, right?" I was like, "What? I'm not an asshole, right?" But I guess I am. I don't know. No more curse words.
It's just the D. I was like, what? Trevor's like the male version of me, because I could totally see, like, that's why we connect. I was like, oh, that's me. That is so
JC,
me.
greatest conversation ever.
Oh, yes. Okay, I got it. I got to figure out how to click these up there. Get this conversation going. So. Oh,
There it is. Killed it.
oh,
We're all
but
over the place.
I was like, we're all over the place. I was like, where do we
I
go
think we
now?
knew this was going to happen, though.
That was such an impactful conversation for you guys, and I know it was, but I totally related to you on the other side of it, because I saw myself in that I did. I was like that a lot, and I know I come off that way to a lot of people, and I come off that way more to women, I think. And it's just because I, like you said, I'm trying to protect. People have said a lot of things, and you enter this protection mode, and then you don't realize it also comes across that way sometimes to people that are safe. But it does have a thing, like, I do believe you in the importance of protecting the vision, and that it's not a safe space to share our visions with everyone, all the time. You have to find a tribe of the right people, of similar people with similar mindsets. And that are not only a safe space to share that big vision, that aren't going to crush that vision, that are going to believe in you and help your vision get bigger and bigger, and then are also safe spaces. I love how you and your wife are able to partner together in this way and be that, and her hold that space for you when you need to bounce back. And what kind of relationships do we have with other business people in the tribe that are safe for those conversations too? They're a safe place to share our vision and a safe place to bounce back from failure.
Yeah. Jordan Peterson said, be careful who you tell good news to. Have you ever heard that one?
No.
Yeah. But it's basically, be careful who you tell good news to, because it's yours to protect, and you're not going to like. So for instance, when I said I want to be the largest in the country, that's not something you go around touting, right? Especially online. Oh well, too late now. Because
no.
There's going to be a lot of noise. There's going to be a lot of people saying, oh, look at this kid, who's he think he is, you know, our biggest in the country, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So you want to protect that, right? So I don't care what you say. At this point in my life, it is what it is. I'm going for it. And you either support me or you don't. If you don't talk to me. Sorry. That's just the way it's going to be.
No, that's great. That's exactly. You've gotten to the point that noise doesn't bother you. You can tune it out.
That far. Well, wouldn't go that far, but I do kick it out as quick as possible.
Okay. You're getting closer and closer to.
Yeah. I go straight to the house and I'm like, babe, you're not going to believe what they said.
Oh, well, before I want to dive into your podcast a little bit too, but JC said greatest conversation ever. And there were so many great conversations in South Carolina. I had some great conversations with you too, and I will just be forever thankful. And like you were sitting at the table with that woman in the book, there were so many great things put in place of lifelong relationships. People, sure. I didn't even know. A couple weeks prior to that, of lifelong relationships and connections made. And that's all right people in the right rooms and making magic.
Yeah.
So, and like I said, now I can't wait to spend more time with your wife and go on more trips together. So
awesome.
Bridging from that into the podcast, tell us about it.
So that's another uncomfortable diving headfirst in type thing that I just decided I was going to do one day. So I don't know, maybe 2 months ago, right? It just hit me that it might've been three, that I was going to start a podcast, because if I'm going to franchise this company, I need to have more influence. People need to know who I am. They need to recognize the brand. I need to start speaking at events. Also something I don't want to do, right? But I'm going to do it. I've got a lot to say. So I decided that, you know what, I'm going to start a podcast. And I even named the podcast Through the Noise before I went to Houston for that conference where I met the author, Michelle Prince, right? And so I literally threw the brand together, started the podcast in like 2 weeks, bought all this fancy stuff from my office, made an actual studio, and launched the podcast. And the funny thing is, when I met Michelle Prince, we were talking about it. This is also going to be the title of my book. So call me out on that. So that's it. So basically what we do is called Through the Noise by Trevor Steele, Business, Life, and Lies. Everybody knows what the business and life is, but the lies is the noise, right? Mostly it's the lies we tell ourselves. At least that's from my side of it.
Yep.
But there's also lies that come from outside, external forces, even people that are close to you. So you just have to protect it.
Mm. I love that. And lies. There are all kinds of lies we tell ourselves. That's what I say excuses are. Every time we say an excuse about anything, it's just a lie that we're telling ourselves.
That's right.
But you have to own it. If you're not going to do something, then let's own that I've chosen not to do it. I've chosen to do something else. I'm owning that decision. But every time something that sounds like an excuse comes out, it's just you telling yourself a lie. So Well,
So I'm not used to being on this side of the microphone with all the questions coming my direction, but I think I like it better when I'm asking the questions. It's a little
I
bit
know, I can ask
easier.
anything. I always say, I do tell some people that. I'm like, are you scared?
Yeah.
Are you
Well,
scared? I can take this absolutely anywhere I want it to.
yeah, navigate, tread lightly, right? So it's funny because I was like, in the beginning, I told, I don't remember who I told, but I said, I'm gonna make my people cry. That's the goal. I want to see them get emotional, right? And so poor
Well,
Pat
you don't
Clark.
make me cry on my show.
Yeah, poor Patrick Clark. If you don't know Pat, he was the first guest on my podcast, and sure enough, he was crying. Great guy, I love him to death. He's like a brother. But I was like,
That's
God,
great.
who's next?
Darn, I didn't get that deep with him. I didn't make him cry. I'm not sure. I think we've had a couple really deep crying moments. And yeah, people, once they're when I'm on their podcast and they go that deep, I was like, oh, how did we get here?
Yeah.
Oh, well, Trevor, it has been a privilege to be here with you today. And I look forward to watching this podcast soar, everything that you're doing, and to be the largest in the nation, everything that you're claiming for yourself. I know that it's going to happen. And I'm going to stick on that book. I'm not going to ask you in a year where it's at. You better be sending me updates.
Uh-oh. Ask me in a month. Yeah, right.
About, I was gonna say, I'm like, I want to hear what the progress is in a month.
We'll see. This is definitely outside of my comfort zone. This is going to be the hardest thing that I've done yet, I think. I don't know. Maybe I'll just use ChatGPT for the whole thing.
No,
Yeah,
you're gonna be a great author. You have a great story and will impact a lot of people with the book. So,
awesome.
thank
Thank you for
you
having
again
me.
for being on. Yeah, can't wait to hang out with you in person sometime soon. And we are here every Wednesday at 4:30. Thanks if you are on live with us, either on Turf Separator or in the Facebook group. We will see you. Oh, I didn't ask you what's one thing you need to do to get uncomfortable. So you're going to have to get back to me on that because we're out of time. But what is one thing, audience, you need to do this week to get uncomfortable? Have a great week, everyone.
Thanks, y'all.